Boy, speaking of MSU and the issues there, if you missed it yesterday, dig up or go online at DetroitNews.com, DetroitNews.com. Charlie LaDuff has a very fascinating piece on trying to clarify the interactions of the Lansing Police Department with the shooter, knowing that they had kind of a, I guess they had a welfare check, making a visit to the gunman's house just 8 days before his rampage on the campus at Michigan State University. Worth looking into, and Charlie LaDuff, there aren't a lot of those kind of investigative reporters around anymore, but he digs deep into this, worth looking at. Meanwhile, the people will be talking about the whole Murdoch situation forever. And a part of it's because of a Netflix special. 2020's got a special. There'll be a million specials, probably a made-for-television movie, or maybe this will be a regular movie. Whatever, we do depend on help from a variety of sources. And the reliable source in legal activity is Todd Flood, who has helped us with circumstances and situations. Nothing quite like this. But when there are things going on that happen in the court that might sometimes need clarification or maybe just an expansion of what has happened here, we call upon you, Todd Flood, and we're glad you're with us.
Well, thank you, Paul W., and I'm glad to be with you.
I'm telling you this, you know, they made kind of a deal out of this. I mean, the talking heads made kind of a deal of this the first cell phone case, meaning the cell phone was used extensively to even count how many steps he took and where he was, where they were, all of that. Is this truly the first, or have you been in cases where that's been come into play?
No, I've been in cases many of times where the cell phone, where your watch, that you use as a watch and also a phone, have come into play many of times. And no, so I think it's a far cry for someone to say, that's the phone that's really been used, the technology in a case. It's been going on for quite some time, last couple decades. And our United States Supreme Court has kind of ferreted out actually many issues on what you can search with regards to a phone, whether or not you can go into the person's banking app or whether you can go into his Google search based on the search warrant. So I don't think the talking heads were accurate on that.
Well, it's not the first time. It's not the first time the talking heads were not accurate. I mean, they're just talking, and they have to say words. And sometimes the words they say don't make a lot of sense, and this apparently is one of them. What do you think about specials being made while a trial is underway and the specials that come out, like that Netflix special, basically showed Murdoch he was guilty. I mean, they said, this is without question, look at all this bad stuff. This is a bad family. This is that. Stuff that would never have been in the trial. And I know the judge says, he says it when they take a break, please do not discuss this with anyone. He gives the jury orders. And the jury is not supposed to go home and watch Netflix. But they do. They're human beings. No one can control that. What influence do you think the media has in a case like this? Don't get me wrong. This man is guilty of sin, in my opinion. But I also thought O.J. Simpson was guilty of sin, and he walked. And even then, these guys have called upon O.J. to give his opinion on this case. It's starting to get to be really bizarro world out there, Todd Flood.
It is in many ways. Sometimes I think we devolve as opposed to evolve.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah. So as far as the media goes, we've had a lot of high-profile cases in our state. I've been a part of high-profile cases in our state and in the Midwest. And we hope that jurors follow orders. We know, as you pointed out, that that's not always done. And when you have the media influencing jurors or what's in the not allowed in the trial, or what is not even close to being in the trial, out there influencing jurors, it's a scary thing. And we count on other jurors sometimes to ferret that stuff out when they hear about or know about another one of their jurors in their box hearing or talking about, this is what I heard, this is what I saw. It's disturbing. And I've had it happen to me in a case, and it's terrible because we end up ultimately having to make a decision. Do we go with 11 jurors? Do we keep 12? Is it enough for a mistrial? It's terrible. So as far as these movies go and Netflix, the culture for which we live in, and they make money off of this, again, kind of a soap opera story, apparently. But the fact that this case is one that has grabbed the people's attention around the country and producers and the like, it's kind of a sad commentary, in my opinion.
But well, I appreciate that. Again, I'm sorry?
It sells, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it sells like crazy. I don't want to get into this right now, but I'd speculated, well, heck, they don't even have to try them on all those financial cases. But if the networks have anything to do about it, they will try them on the financial cases. And I guess they have to anyway, because there are going to be lawsuits coming from it and everything else. So they need it officially on you know, just because he kept saying he was guilty of everything other than the murder of his wife and son, is what he said. And but that, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now. I want to ask you, as an attorney, while I have the chance, Todd Flood,
sure,
give me one glaring error in your legal opinion that the prosecution make and one glaring error the defense made that you saw and wouldn't have done.
Well, the obvious is the defense team putting their client on the stand, knowing that he has to confess that he lied for 20 months about his alibi, is a major league faux pas. Anytime you lose the credibility, as it relates to where you're at, what's going on, I have a really hard time putting my client on the stand. Not unless I had some compelling way to overcome how come I lied for the however long I was under the investigation and how many times I put that out there. I think it was fait accompli for one of the many things for this guy, for him to be convicted, just because it was you can't get that one back, right?
Right, so, but the people have said that he was toast going into this without being on the stand, and maybe they thought that was their only chance. Also, if your client says, no, and especially when it's an egotistical lawyer like this guy is, if they said, I want to be on the stand, can you keep him from going on?
No.
Okay.
That's choice.
What about prosecution errors? I thought going on and on about his financial dealings, although that did establish him very well as a liar.
Yeah, I think the fact that you belabor it can turn off a jury. But the facts are the facts, right? So they were dealing with a great case with great facts that they, you know, for them to win. Ugly facts in reality, but
right,
great facts to win. For them to belabor something, maybe they want to sink it home too much. But this case went on way too long and took way too much time with the fact that they had everything that they had. But it is what it is as it relates to South Carolina. I think today you're going to find out that they're not going to seek the death penalty and they're going to give him life without parole.
So do you think that as a lawyer, when the jury goes out and comes back in less than 3 hours after spending weeks on this thing, 70 witnesses, did you know automatically that that meant they won, that the prosecution won?
In a case like this, yeah. In a case like this, yes. This is one where it was a slam dunk. 3 hours for that long of a trial. Betting odds, betting favorites, the prosecution, you know, won the case. Because if there was any doubt of that was being raised, you know, it would have taken longer. It would have had, you know, you may have been in there for a couple of days. But there was no fighters on his side, that's for sure.
Yep. Well, Todd Flood, thanks for joining us as always. Noted attorney Todd Flood. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul W.
Coming up, Jerry Norcia up next, DTE president and CEO. And, yeah, we've got lots to talk about as we continue on the Paul W. Smith Show, Friday morning edition, WJR 745.